Ви з SBS українською.
Hello from the BBC. I'm Rich Preston with a roundup of the latest developments on the war in Ukraine. President Biden has announced a major plan to supply US gas to Europe so Europe can reduce its reliance on Russian energy. The EU currently gets 40% of its gas from Russia.
We're coming together to reduce Europe's dependence on Russian energy. Putin has issued Russia's energy resources to coerce and manipulate its neighbors. That's how he's used it. He's used the profits to drive his war machine.
The BBC's Jessica Parker has this analysis.
There is no one silver bullet, but there is immense political pressure to cut the cash that goes to Russia and helps pay for President Putin's war.
While in Europe, President Biden is also visiting eastern Poland to witness firsthand the humanitarian crisis caused by Russia's invasion. Meanwhile, in Ukraine itself, officials in the besieged southern city of Mariupol say they now think some 300 people were killed in a missile strike on a theatre last Wednesday. The BBC's Jonah Fisher is in the capital, Kyiv.
The theatre had been used as a shelter from weeks of intense fighting and had been clearly marked outside with the word children on the ground.
One of the first cities to feel the full force of Russia's invasion was Kharkiv in the country's east, just 40 kilometres, about 25 miles from the Russian border. It's Ukraine's second biggest city and had a population of 1.4 million people. At least half of those are now thought to have fled in the face of relentless Russian attacks. Our correspondent Quentin Somerville has been on the front lines with Ukrainian forces.
You can see what they're up against here. This is daily, but the steadfastness of these men has been felt not just in Kharkiv, but around the world. They've had 4 weeks of this and still they remain. The Russians haven't been able to break their lines. And this invasion might have come as a surprise to the rest of the world, but this is what they've been expecting and training for years.
Our reporter asked some of those Ukrainian soldiers what message they had for Russia's troops.
Run. We didn't ask you to come here. Run away. There's nothing else to say. Either you stay here in the ground forever, or you go back home and stop killing children and destroying homes and families.
Meanwhile, in Russia, the Kremlin has accused President Biden of trying to divert attention from chemical and biological arms programs carried out by the US, after Mr. Biden said Russia could use such weapons in Ukraine. The president said NATO would, quote, respond in kind if Moscow launched a chemical attack. Our security correspondent is Frank Gardner.
Both America and Russia are signatories to the 1997 Chemical Weapons Convention, which bans these horrific weapons. But analysts fear that in the fog of war in Ukraine, Russia may be tempted to bring about a deliberate release of toxic industrial chemicals, such as chlorine gas. This could have a devastating effect on an urban population, as it did in Aleppo in Syria. There could also be some confusion as to who caused such an incident, which would likely divide NATO allies as to how forcefully they should respond.
Meanwhile, the former Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, says Western sanctions imposed on Russia since the invasion are stupid, saying they served only to consolidate support for the Russian government. The sanctions have undermined the value of the ruble, prompted job losses, and largely closed the Moscow Stock Exchange. Our Russia editor, Steve Rosenberg, has been gauging reaction in St. Petersburg, where Vladimir Putin was born.
A human rights group, Soldiers Mothers of St. Petersburg, is operating a hotline, calling in parents who are worried that their conscript sons may be in Ukraine. There have been lots of calls, and there's also lots of pressure from above. Olga tells me that the group is being forced to shut down. The authorities prefer to cover things up, Olga says, to give society a false picture that everything's fine in the army. They want soldiers' mothers to be patient and to be silent.
And he heard from those who support Mr. Putin.
Outside the world-famous Hermitage Museum, Nadezhda tells me, I love my motherland and I trust my president. And if you think that the West can frighten us by withholding goods, you're wrong. Russians aren't scared of cold or hunger.
Those are the latest developments on day 30 of Russia's invasion. I'm Rich Preston at the BBC.
Хочете почути більше подібних історій? Слухайте в Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify або будь-якому іншому місці.